And do this here at Hope Community, but I'm asked that you would stand and turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 6 for the reading of the word. We are starting a new series, and I just thought, why don't we honor the Lord and honor the word this morning? So would you stand up to your feet, please? If you need a Bible, it's right in front of you, in the back of you. Ephesians in the New Testament, chapter 6. The name of the series is called Battle Ready. I want to attest to small groups. I help lead the women's one, and I know there's amplified momentum. If you commit to it, the Lord will do a work in you. But first you have to commit to it. You have to say yes and amen. And when you do, we have seen such growth in our ladies that are faithful just to show up. All you have to do is show up. This scripture is sort of the same this morning, and so we're going to be called, this whole series is called Battle Up, a six-part series on the armor of the Lord, and Paul writes this, and let's read it together in verse 10. It says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, because of what was just spoken, and our battle is not against flesh and blood, and it's against the darkness and the evil in this present day," the Bible says, Paul writes in verse 13, he says, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand firm, stand therefore." Everybody say, "Stand therefore." "Having fastened the belt of truth, and having put on a breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up a shield of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me," Paul writes, "that the words may be given to me, and that this morning I may open my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I might declare it boldly as I ought to speak." Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you for the word of God. God, I thank you this morning that we can be a people that are battle ready. God, we thank you this morning that we are reminded that our battle is not against flesh and blood. God, it's not against a person. It's not against an entity. God, that there is a dark side. God, the side that is controlled by the enemy, and our battle is against him. And so this morning, God, the only thing that I know that stands up to this kind of battle, this kind of scheme where it looks to kill and steal and destroy lives, God, the only thing that I know is the truth of God. So this morning, God, I'm asking you with my voice, God, a cry from my spirit to yours, holy God, God, that this morning that the word would go bold, God, that it would bring conviction. God, for someone in this room who doesn't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, God, I pray that salvation would come to their life. God, for someone that has walked away from the goodness of God, I ask, Lord God, that you would come and bring the truth of the Word of God. God, thank you that this morning we will buckle up with the belt of truth in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. Will you turn to your neighbor and say, God's going to move Turn to your other neighbor and say, he's going to move in your life too. Take a seat right where you are and let's get into the word of God this morning. This word of God. In Jesus' mighty name, everyone said amen, amen, amen. We're going to be looking again. Keep your thumbprint right there. Ephesians chapter 6. Looking at the scriptures this morning. It's a little bit hot. Is this a little bit hot? Can you just pull it down just a little bit? Like it or not, we are in a battle. And not a battle of fists. Anybody ever gotten in a fight before? I've gotten in a fight in my kindergarten year as a five-year-old. My bus driver, Miss Mitchell, told me I could swing, so I did. That was before you couldn't swing at school. You remember that, all the old people, when fighting was just okay? And so I remember swinging my little fists and hitting my next-door neighbor. He was aggravating little dude, and so I would sit there and I would hit him. And my mom didn't even, I don't think, ever knew, but I knew that my battle was never against him, that it was against the principalities and the things going on in his life. The enemy's main strategy isn't usually to shove you. It isn't to pull you. Ultimately, he lies to you. Think about the Garden of Eden. Think about Adam and Eve. Think about those things that happened. How did he convince Eve to take of the fruit with a word that said, "Did God surely say?" And so we wrestle this morning, not against flesh, not against blood. The enemy's strategy isn't just to take you out all the way. He paints sin as harmless and obedience as unbearable. He makes you question God's goodness, your purpose, and your future. So when Paul writes to us to put on the whole armor of God, he's not being poetic. He's being practical. The armor is how believers stand firm when life hits. When temptation calls, when confusion spreads, when culture shifts, and when deception comes dressed in something that looks almost true. It is so fitting this morning that the first piece in the armor is the belt of truth. Somebody say the belt of truth. Ephesians 6 and verse 14, if you have a highlighter this morning or if you're taking notes, it says, "Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth." So before you pick up a sword, before you put on a breastplate of righteousness or a helmet of salvation or the shoes of the gospel of peace, the Bible says that we are to put on the belt of truth. Why? Because the belt keeps all the rest of the armor together. You buckle truth around you because if truth is missing, everything else becomes unstable. Now, the crazy thing is we live in a world where truth changes. Truth can change from today to tomorrow. We have an Airbnb for our retirement. We have like a cabin, and so we that's like sort of our retirement plan. A couple years back, Ted and I were looking at our lives and like, hey, we don't have retirement, and that's going to be like crazy when we turn 65. So we took some monies out of his. He worked at North American. We took some monies out, a little 10%, invested it in a cabin, and said this is going to be our nest egg whenever we get old. We're not old yet, but when we get old, amen. That's going to be sort of like the thing that takes care of some of the. We just don't have retirement. Here and I work at Hope Extreme, neither have retirement. And so, the thing with Airbnb or any kind of rental, like if you ever go to a restaurant and you give them a review, like a 5-star or 4-star, it's pretty fine. Not Airbnb. Airbnb, you have to have a 5-star, like you have to have this great review, like this great star. And so, there was a guest that came into our place and just sort of made up some lies, like said that they had construction going on at our place and there was no construction. Eventually, we figured out that really he just wanted a party, and our place is not a party place. It's like a serene place. It's like out of the way kind of place. And so eventually he says, "Can I leave?" We said, "Sure, but you got to pay for the first night because you actually stayed there 2 nights." Long story short, at the end of the stay, though he got his way and he got his money and he got everything back towards him, he gives us a review. And I click on the review, and y'all, it was a 1-star. A 1-star in Airbnb is like death. It's like you will never get any views. This was his thing that he wrote. He said, "I just couldn't get over the construction that was happening at their place." Now, y'all, we have no construction at our place whatsoever, so I asked our cleaners, can you give a video, we'll timestamp it, showing and proving the truth, right? This is the truth. Like, we have absolutely no construction. So I thought this will be settled quickly, so I call up Airbnb in my most nicest voice that I have, which is really nice, and I said, dear sir from India, can we just have a conversation about the fact that this is not true? And he said, well, you can have a conversation, but that was his experience. And I said, what do you mean his experience? His experience is not true. Like, there is no construction. I said, I have cleaners. I have dated material. I can show you pictures. I can show video. I can show sound. Whatever it needs that you can understand that this guy was retaliating because he didn't want to pay the one or two nights that he stayed there. Can I just show you some truth? And here's what Airbnb told me. They said, that was his experience. And I thought to myself, what a weird way to define truth. Truth is truth. It's not on what something happens that you feel. Truth is found in something solid. And in our case, as believers, our truth is found in a person, and his name is Jesus. So Jesus doesn't change from yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same. And I'm excited about that, because when culture changes, or when you have an experience that looks like or feels like what you wanted to have, that is not absolute truth. Jesus is. Somebody say Jesus. So when I put on the belt of truth, everything in the Christian life rests on what is true. Here's five things that we should know as believers. What is true about God? See, that doesn't change because of culture or because of an American this or that has happened and some flag that flies. God is God. He is the creator. He sent his son as savior to die for you and I sins, and he doesn't change, and he is true. The next one that doesn't change is you. Now, you might change. You might be in a good place. You might be in a bad place. But what God says about you doesn't change. Does that make sense? There's a difference. You could be in a funky spot in your life, but it doesn't change who you are in Christ. Because Romans says that nothing can separate you from the love of God. Not demons or angels, nor anything low or anything high. In all of creation, you are the beloved. You are the chosen of God. You have a plan. You have a purpose. So God is true. Who you are in him is true, but also sin. I was talking to one of our students. We have an after school program, and he's a little bit mischievous, if you would. That's a good word for bad. And so I was sitting with him, and I said, you know what sin is? And he looked at me, and he said, I don't have a clue. He had never heard of the word sin. Let me explain that to you, brother. And I began to help him out. This is sin. This is something that you do wrong. You ever did anything wrong? Of course. That's called sin. Sin is sin. It doesn't change from 1,000 years to 2,000 years. It doesn't change because our culture says this is sin and now this isn't sin. The word of God defines sin. That's something that separates us from God, and that is true. And that would sound depressing. It even says that all of our righteousness is as filthy rags and separates us from God. However, there is another truth, and that is salvation. Salvation is how we're rescued. So if you're a sinner, if you're far away from the Lord, if you are not right with God, here's what happens. God saves you in his mercy. You don't deserve it. Your righteousness, filthy rags, but it's how you are rescued. And then there's another truth, and I love this truth. In this broken world full of things that are hurtful and full of things that just aren't quite right, there is an eternity. And that is true. There's a world outside of this world. There's an existence outside of this existence. There's a place where our Father goes to prepare for us, the Bible says, and he's been preparing for it for over 2,000 years. It's called eternity, where God reigns, where there'll be no weeping, no gnashing of teeth, where all things will be made new. So truth, somebody say truth, is a person whose name is Jesus. And Jesus says this about himself. He says, I am the way and the truth and the life. What does he say? I am the way. I am the... Somebody say truth. Jesus does not say, I am a way. He doesn't say, I teach truth. He didn't say, I point towards truth, though he does. He says, I am the truth. That is different than an experience at an Airbnb cabin. It's different. It doesn't change. He doesn't change. So to fasten on the belt of truth is to fasten on Jesus. Not what is trending, not what is convenient, not whatever feels right in the moment, not so that I can get applause, because sometimes when I walk in truth, the applause is far away. But in the kingdom of God, truth is not voted on. Truth is revealed in Jesus. In fact, in John 15, verse 26, it says this, when the helper comes, whom I will send to you. Now, this is the Holy Spirit. When the Helper, the Holy Spirit comes, who I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth. So Jesus says, I'm going to send you a helper who is going to help you buckle up the belt of truth. Because soldiers don't get ready or dressed for comfort. They get dressed for combat. The Holy Spirit does not lie. He doesn't use half-truths. He doesn't use self-deception. He is called the Spirit of truth because he leads us to what is real about what? About God. He leads us to what is real about you. He leads us to what is real about sin. He leads you to what is real about salvation. He leads you to what is real about eternity. So in Paul's day, the Roman soldier would start with the belt of truth. How many of you this morning started with a belt? Two of us? Three? How many of you have? I don't even own a belt. I had to ask my husband, and he has the one on because, you know, he's skinny. And so he needs that belt to help him. But most of us in the room, a belt is not pivotal to what you put on this morning because we have enough girth, if you would, to keep all of, you know, we're good. We don't need a belt. But a Roman soldier, and back in the day, the belt was the first thing. If this is anything, it was the last thing. Usually when I was a teacher at school, the major wear a belt. And that's the only reason why I would wear one, because my students had to wear one. So here I am wearing a belt to school. But in a general day, I'm not wearing a belt. I don't need one. But not a soldier. Not someone that was in the army, because they knew that they were going to fight a battle. So in Paul's day, the Roman soldier belt was not a thin accessory. This is sort of thin, and it's an accessory. It actually has paint on it because, again, we only have two belts, I think, in our house. And so this is the second belt that we own, because soldiers understood it was thick. Imagine thicker, heavier. Imagine banded leather and metal. And so this piece would hang down in front. It wasn't just a decoration. It was functional. It was a critical piece of the armor. The belt of truth did three things. Here are the three things that a belt would do. Number one, the belt secured everything else. I don't know. Do we have a picture for this? So the belt secured everything else. Here's an image of a belt. Look at the difference between my belt and a soldier's belt. So the belt helped to secure the breastplate of righteousness. The belt helped secure the sword of the Spirit. The belt helped to secure the helmet of salvation. There was things that were happening inside the armor of God, and the thing that secured everything else was the belt of truth. Number two, the belt, you can keep that picture up. The belt provided protection for the inmost parts. You know what parts I'm talking about. So if a soldier was going to battle and there was parts that were unprotected by the breastplate of righteousness or the shield of faith, there was a belt that protected the parts that were hanging down. It provided protection for vulnerable areas. In battle, one place strike could take out everything else. So the soldier covered what mattered the most. Spiritually, truth is what covers your life. So you put on the belt world and you're ruled by everything that Jesus says, and you don't have to be ruled by accusation, insecurity, every rumor, every doubt, every distorted narrative, because you are protecting the inmost parts of your life. Number three, the belt carried the sword. What is the sword? The word of God. In this situation, you can actually see the belt, if you would, and the sword is on the side of the belt. Paul's picture is powerful. The belt carried the weapon. But if you didn't have the belt of truth on, the weapon. Some of us are going into battle without a weapon because we don't walk in truth in our lives. Can I say that again? Some of us are going into battle and we don't have the word of God. You can memorize the word of God. You can take the word of God out of context. You can do what you want. But you go into battle and you don't have a weapon because you don't have a belt. And the belt is the belt of truth, and the belt carried the word of God. Here is the connection. The belt of truth holds the sword of the Spirit. Truth and the word of God are linked. If you've ever been in a bad place in your life, if you've watched the news a little bit too much, if you are overcome by culture and what an influencer is saying, or anything like that, I would encourage you this morning to go back to the word of God. Why? Because it is an unchangeable truth. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God is forever. So when the belt is truth is tight, and if you can imagine this morning, if you would place this belt of truth around you, it says sanctify. John 7:17 says this, sanctify them in the truth. Somebody say truth. And then John says, your word is what? Truth. What is sanctify? God, cleanse me in the truth. God, help me to walk in truth. God, is it true? Is it honorable? Is it just? Is it full of good report? God, if it is those things, then God, help me to walk with the belt of truth, so that when you have the belt on, the sword isn't awkward. The breastplate of righteousness fits correctly. The helmet of salvation doesn't fall on and off. You ever met somebody, they were saved, not saved, living with Jesus, not living with Jesus? Why? Because maybe the belt of truth wasn't connected in a way that helped everything else connect it. So here's the thing. If I were going to have a belt this morning, which I don't, but if I had a belt, I want to have the belt of truth, what would I have to do? I would have to put it on, right? I have to actually take the belt. It even says that. It says, fasten on the belt of truth around you. The sermon is called Buckle Up, the Belt of Truth. Another version of the Bible says, buckle the belt around your waist. The another one, the King James says, gird your waist with truth. You know that one. Gird your loins with truth. So there is an action this morning that you have to do. I can't just have a belt hanging in my closet, look at it and say, that's really nice truth. What do I have to do? I have to what? Put it on. I have to fast. Oh, I'm bigger than my husband. And so, no surprise. And so you have to gird it. You have to put it on. There is an action this morning that you say, this is the belt of truth, but I'm not just looking at the truth. I don't know, just know about God. I'm going to walk in truth. The belt doesn't automatically cling to you, right? Most of our belts just stay in a closet, on a coat hanger, so that we don't have to put it on. Which means you, as a believer in the room this morning, you have to decide, will I be a person of truth? Will I be a person who loves what is true? Will I be a person this morning that submits? You know what submit is that, Lord, I'm putting myself underneath the presence of God, underneath the word of God. Will you be a person that submits to truth, or will you reshape it to fit what you want? Because here's the danger. We live in a world where truth is treated like a preference. People say, oh, that might be true for you, but that's not true for me. You ever heard that one? That's not the word. That's not what truth is. If truth can change from person to person, it's not true. It's taste. I could like mint chocolate chip ice cream, and I can say it's the best ice cream in the whole world, but that's just not true. And all the people else said, yes, amen. Because that's my opinion. It's my taste. That's what I like when I go to the ice cream shop. But there is something that is true, and that doesn't change from person to person or from taste to taste or from culture that's right now and culture that's 25 years from now. Y'all, that's a good thing. That means that I can stand and put my life on something that is true. Satan loves to deceive us, did God actually say? He didn't start with a punch. He started with a question. Did God really say, is that really true? Is that what you really believe? And he hasn't changed. And thousands of years later, he still comes in our culture, and we can change truth from a person to person or from my taste, but the enemy thrives when we don't put on the belt of truth. This is the word, not my opinion. This is not what I think in the moment. This is the truth of God. So my question this morning, how do you actively buckle up? Now you know that practically when you put on a belt, all of us in the room know we sort of squeeze it and we put it on and we make a little effort to do that. How do you put on the belt of truth in a culture that doesn't like true things, that wants to change all the time, like the wind? How do you this morning say, okay, I'm a believer. Okay, I heard you in Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to stand firm. I'm going to be a part of the battle. I'm not just going for comfort. I'm going to get to the truth of God's word. Here are five things that you need to do. Number one, start with Jesus as truth. Start with Jesus. If you don't know Jesus this morning, your truth will be here today and in another place tomorrow. It will go like a wave tossed to and fro. But if you want to build your life on the rock of God, and I love what God is doing in young people in our generation, I believe they are looking for something that's not shifting, that's not going from here to there. They are finding it in the name of Jesus. Jesus has not changed. Jesus will not change. He is the same, and he died for your sins. So truth, Jesus says, I'm it. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm not just walking around Jesus. I am walking with Jesus, and there is a difference. So start with Jesus as your truth. Number two, everybody say number two, let scripture be your standard. Guys, if you listen even to a Christian book more than you listen to the word of God, your truth might be skewered to what that Christian book says. Not against reading Christian books. I read Christian books all the time. I love to read. But my heart and my focus is found in the Word of God. Why? Because the Word of God is truth. It is the standard that I am to live my life. That means that I can't approach the Bible like a buffet and pick out which piece I like the best, though I do like some buffets. I can't go to the Bible like that. I have to read the Word of God and say, Lord, if it convicts me, it convicts me. God, if it corrects me, it corrects me. Why? Because I am allowing the Word of God to change me. Y'all, we read the Word of God every morning. Grab a hold of the Bible plan and just listen to the Word of God. Just read the Word of God. He will begin to do a work in you. Allow the Word of God to be your truth. Number three, practice truth inwardly, not just outwardly. What does that mean? The belt of truth includes this: confession. I was wrong. I'm sorry. I repent. I want to live with integrity. It starts looking at ourselves because we know who God is. We said Jesus is the truth. We know what the Word of God says. And I did that wrong. And I'm honest and I confess it and I repent. And it's not just something that is outwardly, oh yeah, I love the truth. No, it's an inward thing. I hold myself accountable. I ask somebody to hold me accountable. I'm truthful in my speech. I'm truthful in my motives, because a half truth is a half lie, and a lie is a lie. And when we speak a lie, it's like speaking like Satan. But when we speak the truth, it's like speaking like our Heavenly Father. So we repent this morning and say, okay, God, I will not be a person who speaks lies. I will truth inwardly, and I will just not be an outward kind of person. I want you to get to the deep heart of who I am. I repent. I confess. I am going to practice truth on the inside. Number four, how do you put on? How do you buckle this thing on? You reject lies quickly. Here's what I'm saying. Some of you in the room believe the lie of Satan more than the truth of God. You believe that God has forgotten you, and you don't believe that God loves you. You don't believe that God's love is never separated from your life. You believe this morning that you'll never change. And yet God says that anybody that comes to Christ is a new creation. You believe that sin won't cost you, so you keep on sinning. But that sin will take you further than you want to go, and you'll stay longer than you want to stay. And so you have to change that and reject the lie. Some of you in the room think you're too far gone. God can't love you. He can't change you. You can't fill out your purpose. Yes, you can. You reject the lie. That's a lie from the enemy. Some of you believe that obedience isn't worth it. But I'm here to tell you this morning, we reject the lie quickly and we practice the truth inwardly. So number one, you start with Jesus. Number two, you let the Bible, the scripture, be the standard. Number three, you practice truth inwardly. Number four, you reject lies quickly. And number five, as you're accepting the truth, God is faithful, Christ transforms, sin destroys, grace restores, obedience leads to life. What did it start with in Ephesians chapter 6? It started with this. Finally, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. Stand firm. I'm not going to be tossed to and fro. I'm not going to be in and out. I'm not going to come one Sunday and miss the next. I'm just going to be faithful to the things of God. I'm just going to be careful to use my words for truth. You are going to stand firm with the belt of truth buckled and ready. Because sometimes all you have to do is stand, and the Lord will begin to fight with you when you stand with the belt of truth. Will you bow your head, please, and close your eyes? Everybody in this room, I want to make two ads this morning. Before you walk out of the door, it's one thing to leave out the room without a physical belt on. Doesn't even matter. But it is another thing this morning to walk out the door without a spiritual belt on. If you're going to fight the enemy, if we're going to get to this thing called eternity, where we live forever with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, where there'll be no weeping and no tears, where everything in your heart, those things, those desires will be fulfilled in Christ that are His. If we're to get there, we're going to have to fight here. And if I'm honest, sometimes I like being a lazy Christian. I hate sometimes waking up and having to fight. God, I got to fight again. God, I got to keep on in this battle. God, this is tough. But He gave you some armor. He gave you some weapons. We'll learn about those a little bit later on. And one piece of the armor that is essential to all the other pieces we're going to talk about is God's truth. And here's the thing. If you're in the room this morning and you've never accepted the truth of Jesus Christ, my heart is that you would hear this, that God loves you, that He sent His Son Jesus, perfect in every way, without sin, without spot. And that 2,000 years ago, He walked the earth, verified by witnesses that He healed, He delivered, and He set free. That perfect Son of God went to a cross, shed His perfect blood, and died for you, and He died for me. That's true. Not only was it true that He was buried for 3 days, After 3 days, the Bible says that he opened up the grave and he showed himself to over 500 people, verifiable witnesses. In fact, all the graves with the people that were buried around Jesus, they also got up. The power of God. And he showed himself, and 40 days later, he sends back into heaven, and he sends later the Holy Spirit. And that's the person of God who is convicting you this morning. That's why when I'm speaking, there's something in you that's like, man, I need that. I'm going to tell you what you need, and his name is Jesus. I'm not just throwing that around loosely. I'm saying you need to pick up your cross and follow Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man or woman comes to the Father except through Jesus. And this morning, if you say, that's me, with every head bowed and eye closed, you say, I need that. I need forgiveness of sins. I need to know who I am. I need to walk with Christ. I don't need to walk around Jesus anymore. I don't need to sometimes show up. I just need to walk with him. If that's you this morning, would you lift your hand and say, that's me? Nobody looking, please. Nobody looking. Just a moment between us and the Lord. If that's you, with your hand lifted, this is a call. It's going to be difficult. I'm not a preacher that's going to say, this will be easy. You're going to have to walk away from sin. He's going to forgive you. And you're going to have to walk in the way of Christ, step upon step, line upon line. God's going to use you, and he's going to move in your life. He said to all of us, pick up your cross and follow me. If that's you and your hand is lifted, we're going to pray out loud. And the goodness of God and the love of the Lord found in Jesus the Christ will fill you. On the outside, you'll look the same, but on the inside, God will make you brand new. And the Bible says when this happens, that he writes your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And get this, the Lamb's Book of Life is in eternity. So when you pass from this life to the next life, your name's already there because of the decision you make in the here and now. With your hand lifted, would you just pray with me? Say, dear Jesus, would you just speak that out loud? If your hand's lifted, say, my hand is lifted. And I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I ask that you would help me to understand that you are the way, the truth, and the life. Today I say yes, Lord, to following you. I repent, and I say, Lord, I'm coming after you, Jesus. My life is yours. Forgive me and set me free. And this morning, if you've done that, the Bible says the angels in heaven rejoice. Why? Because you have put on the belt of truth. You have put on Jesus. And that decision, read the word, show up for church, be in the fellowship, be in community, walk with the Lord. Walk with Jesus. For others in the room, if you were honest, the belt of truth has been a little bit lax in your life. Sometimes you buckle up and sometimes you don't. Sometimes you fasten and sometimes you do. Sometimes you gird it up and sometimes you walk out into your life and you live like you don't follow the way, the truth, and the life. And this morning, with the sound of my voice, you've heard the scripture and you said, I want to commit again to buckling up the belt of truth. I want to be honest. I want to be truthful. And I want to not just walk around Jesus, but I want to walk with Jesus. I want to pick up my cross and follow him. Whatever that means, whatever that looks like, maybe you used to, maybe you have been. And right now you say, Lord, that's me. Would you lift your hand and say, that's me. I just need to reconnect to Jesus, who is the truth. I need to reconnect to the scriptures. I need to repent inwardly. I need to reject the lies outwardly. And I need to stand firm and buckle up and get ready. If that's you this morning with your hand lifted, would you pray with me? Say, dear Lord. Just say it out loud. Say, dear Lord, my hand is lifted. And I'm asking you to help me to fasten the belt of truth, to buckle up with the belt of truth, Not to be haphazard, halfway. But I would be a person like Paul says, that I would stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth in my life. This morning, God, I make it personal. I'm asking you to help me put on your truth every day. Can I pray over you as a congregation, God, as we walk out these doors? God, there is a battle that's screaming in the heavenlies. I'm so thankful that we win. God, I'm so thankful that our names are written on the Lamb's Book of Life. God, but we got some battles to do in this side of heaven. So when we walk out the doors this morning, God, I pray that we would understand that our battles are not against flesh, not against blood, but there is an enemy that is trying for our families, trying for our streets, trying for our schools, God, trying for this area of town. But God, today, within the sound of my voice, we say no, that the name of Jesus is greater. And we walk out of the doors collectively this morning, buckling on the belt of truth, not something that changes with culture, not something that changes with the wind of times, but God, we say today that your word and your truth is forever, and we walk out of the door saying yes to you and your kingdom purposes. God, help us to fight. Help us to stand firm, not being moved any longer. In Jesus' powerful name we pray. And everyone said, amen and amen. Amen. We encourage you this morning. Sign up for a small group number one. Join us. In fact, even memorize this whole scripture. It's going to be so good. We'll see you Wednesdays or Mondays or at small groups at some of those times. And of course, we'll see you again next week as we do the next part.